Well, good morning. I invite your attention to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. I'm just going to use that particular portion of scripture to get me started on some things. And I want to share some thoughts with you about a successful Christian life. Only God knows if we are successful or not. Man has a way of measuring things and looking at things and evaluating things based upon their thoughts. But God is the true inspector of our hearts. I want to talk today about successful journey through life for the believer. We all struggle with our journey. We have our mountaintops and we have our valleys. But I want to look at the progress that we start with and maybe hopefully how we end in our journey in serving God. Hebrews chapter 11, and verse number 1 is, we call it the faith chapter because of God's, I guess, honor roll of individuals that he recognized their great faith. Verse number 1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report," good testimony. Verse number 6 puts it this way, "But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Seeking God on a daily basis is a challenge for most of us. Letting God lead us in our individual lives. We tend to get up, get busy, go on with life's work, and then maybe if we're a morning person, we spend some time with God. If not, we'll spend some time with him in the evening. And if God's lucky, we'll say grace over our food along the way. But to actually spend time with God and asking him to work in our lives and help us along life's journey. 2 days ago in my prayer time, I was praying and sort of out of the blue, or in the out of the darkness of night, God gave me 4 words that I want to speak to you. God doesn't often do that with me, to be honest with you. Not in the middle of the night, but he did this time, and so I'm going to share with those 4 words, and then I've added one of my own. But I want to talk to you about the stages that we go through in our Christian life. The first one is what I call the sitter. Sitters come to church out of curiosity. If they've never been involved in church, they're maybe a little bit curious. They've heard all kinds of things about you. Most of it's not true, but they've heard lots of things about what people do in churches. And the churches in America are so, have such variety that it's hard to, we can't put all of us in one basket. We tend to worship differently. We tend to sing different songs. We tend to have our formalities and our sequence, and it's completely different. You go to some churches and everybody has to wear a coat and tie. Some do not, we do not. But I've wrestled with this over the years, and I've come to realize God's not looking at our attire. He's really looking at our hearts. Amen. I come out of legalistic places where everything had to be, you know, When I first met the Lord, your hair had to be a certain length. Your shoes had to be polished for the guys. There was a transition in that time when ladies were transitioning from dresses to slacks, and some people were pulling their hair out over it. And when my wife and I met the Lord, her dresses were much shorter than they are now, I'll put it that way. And because where she worked, they was just expected to dress in that particular style in that particular time. And when we went to Bible college, my wife couldn't find clothes that were dresses that were proper length, so her mom made them. So my wife was saying this week, she said, we went to school with my homemade clothes, you know, because the dresses were long enough. Where we went to school, the dresses had to be at least below the middle of the knee. And if it wasn't, they gave you demerits and sent you home to change. But life is, there are seekers in the house of God. John chapter 6 and verse number 28 says, but what shall we do that we may work the works of God? Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you may believe in him whom he sent. I find that sinners often come because they are invited. Most people do not just wander in the church unannounced and uninvited. There are a few. When I left one church and started looking, I spent over a year looking, to be honest. I had come out of one church and I had culture shock of what was going on in churches. It was just different. It wasn't bad, it was just different. But it took me a while to adjust along the way. Some people come to relieve their guilt. They feel guilty for the things they've done in their life, or maybe the things they've done in the past week, and they just feel better by coming to the house of God. And so they come trying to get that relief, that feel-good feeling that I went to church and things are okay for the day. Then some people come and sit because they know that they should. They know that they need to be in the house of God. God admonishes all of us. He says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves. There's something about being in the house of God, being around God's people, that just speaks to our heart. And we need that. We need that encouragement. That's one type of person that I've noticed that the Lord gave me to talk about. The second type is what I call the soaker. Those who come and just soak in things. Romans chapter 10, verse number 17 puts it this way, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We need encouragement of just hearing the word of God, and because the word of God has a way of speaking to us in different ways. Now, there's probably 30-some people here, but that one verse that I just read, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, something inside of you, the Holy Spirit spoke to you differently than somebody across the aisle or someone sitting in the back versus someone sitting in the front. God has a way of dealing with you as individuals. Regardless of what the speaker says, God has a way of just speaking to you about certain things. It may be completely different from anything that the subject of the message is about. That's the uniqueness of God. That's the power of God. That's because you come seeking and God's going to supply what you need in your heart. And you need certain things that only you need in this congregation. And God has a way of just doing that and helping you along. That people come and soak just because they enjoy being around people. Some of you will hug anything that walks through that door. That's not a bad thing. And some of you are like, don't get close to me. We're all different. And it takes a while to adjust along the way. But the thing about it of it is, if you come and just be friendly, you have a way of identifying with each other and you supply the need of your own heart. Some people come and just soak in more knowledge about the Bible. There's a hunger in every one of us that want to know a little bit more about God. I don't care how old you are or how many times you read the Bible. There's something about the Word of God that's practical to your heart that you've never experienced before, even though maybe you've read Scripture a million times. Just this verse. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And that verse is just explodes in application to each one of us. It helps us to grow and develop along the way that we will become people of faith. God says whatever's not of faith is sin. Well, that puts all of us in the sinner category. Because we don't do everything by faith. We take for granted that we can talk and hear. We take for granted that we can get up and have food in the refrigerator or in the cupboard. We just take a lot of things for granted. We don't do it by faith. We just know we went to the grocery store and we got something and there it is. And this, I mean, we just assume that it's going to be there for the next duration. We live in a blessed land, in a blessed time. I've used this example a million times. I guess I'll use it another million if God gives me a breath. But 20 plus years ago, I was cutting grass. I like pushing lawnmowers, okay? I've never cut grass riding, okay? Hopefully I don't have to cut any more grass. I'm at this stage of life and place, I don't have to cut any more grass. Maybe I'm there, I don't know. But I remember going around the front yard, maybe three times, four times, and I can remember exactly where I was. I made my circle and I'm coming back and facing the house. And I felt chest pains. I just chalked it off to old age and being out of shape, bottom line. I was in the summertime and I blew it off. And I had some problems with some hemorrhoids and I was going to get them cut off because they wouldn't retract. And I went to the doctor and he said, just go ahead. He scheduled me for surgery and went to the hospital to do the pre-op stuff. And my heart rate was low. And the admitting person says, you need to be cleared by another doctor. So I went, long story short, they opened me up, did a double bypass on me. Well, now you may laugh at this, but what got me to the hospital was hemorrhoids. Thank God for hemorrhoids. You haven't heard many preachers say that. But that was 20 some years ago. I went to seek help and found help in an unexpected way. But when you come to church, you come to learn more about the Bible. And then you may come to church, a soaker comes to church to get help from others. It could be prayer help. It could be financial help. It could be encouragement. But you come looking and hoping to get something to fill you up and fill you in, or to something just to soak inside of you to make you feel better, to deepen your relationship with God. And then the third area that the Lord spoke to me about is this area of people serving. Every church needs people who serve. Typical church, 10 to 20% of the people inside the congregation do 90% of the work. That's statistically sound. I don't know why that is, but that's just the way that it is. But servers can get in a rut. They come just because they're expected to be here. If I don't do it, nobody else will. If I don't do it, somebody else will not do the job that I can do. So they just come because it's expected of them to be here and to do whatever it is they do. Some people come because they have a position in church, and that position says you must be here on a regular basis. They come out of that obligation to keep that position because that position fills their ego to some degree, somehow, some way. Makes them feel good, makes them feel important. Then others just come just because it's my responsibility to come and do that. But really and truly, servers need to be here because it's their opportunity and the privilege that they have to serve the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Galatians chapter 6 puts it this way. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are the household of faith. Your service, your attendance, your ability to help is for the benefit of the entire church, not just you. Although you have primary benefit from it, but to serve is an opportunity for you to live out maybe what God has told you to do. Maybe it's your position that you do what you read in the Word of God, and the Word of God just jumped off the page at you and says, you need to do whatever this is. When God gets your attention, ever how He gets your attention and speaks to your heart in whatever way He speaks to your heart, He's given you an opportunity to serve, and you have a choice to make. Yes or no? I will or I won't. It's one thing to say that you will and don't, and that's another thing to say that you will not and do. But the doers, the actual doers, are the ones who are blessed because they're willing to serve and let God work in their hearts and let God move in their hearts and let God use them for other people. God has enabled each of us to have a position somehow of just serving people. Whether you're thanked or whether you're paid for it or whether it's appreciated, that's not important. What is important is that you are obedient to God. Amen. And let God use you. Because God wants to use you. Now that's a hard concept to grasp. The Creator of heaven and earth that took handfuls of dirt and made Adam wants to use you. I am, every time I mention, at least in my own head, the greatness of God taking dirt and making man. Now, as a kid, you probably made mud pies. That's about the best. That's about the best thing you can do with mud. Okay. But God took mud and made man. Amen. Now, we serve an almighty God just in that one concept, that God made you out of mud and made Adam out of mud and gave him the ability to pass that, whatever you want to say, that by procreation, on down through the generations that you and I come from. But our ancestors came out of mud, and you're part mud. Now, that may not sit well with your ego, but you're dirt. And as a believer, you're going to be glorified dirt. Somehow you're going to get transported to heaven. I don't know whether we're going to sprout wings at the time the angels come and pick us up, or they just going to carry us, or whatever, however they get us from this place to heaven, that's their business. But all I know is one day I'm going. One day I'm going. I've often thought I'd like to be in church and just finish my last sermon, put holes through the ceiling. Now, some of us have a head hard enough to do that. Some of you will have to follow through the holes, okay, because of us hard-headed people. But there's a danger for servers. And this is my point. This is the one that I inserted. It's called stagnation. We get complacent. We quit growing spiritually. We're happy where we are. We're happy of our, we're sort of satisfied with our spirituality. And we become stagnant. Our hearts are not as tender as they used to be. But the warning is for people who are in this mode of stagnation is things become routine. We just do it just because it's time to do it. The routineness of life gets boring. We want excitement. We want new things. And the routine is just the same old, same old. I'm one of these people when I like, number one, I like to eat, okay? Number two, I don't like to eat the same old stuff all the time. I like variety. My wife is the complete opposite. Give her burgers and fries, and she could be happy every night of the day. I want variety. You know, I just, whether it's vegetables, I went to the grocery store and I just picked up things that I hadn't picked up. So one day when she has a headache, you know what I'm going to have? A can of baked beans. Just a can of baked beans. That's all I want. Another day I'm going to have some macaroni. That's just me. Sometimes every once in a while I pick up a can of cabbage and corn. It's just, I was raised in the country. I mean, it's just, you know, I like vegetables. It's just me. I could give me chicken and vegetables, and I'll be happy. Fish and vegetables, I'll be happy. But the stagnation makes you lose your zeal. You got to have some fire in you, just some zeal to do some things for God. When you go to witness, people got to see that you're excited about God. You're not born, oh, come to church, come and be with us. No, you got to have some excitement. I can learn some things that God can teach you some things. God just has a way of exciting you and putting some fire in you. Got to get rid of that stagnation. And sometimes people get experience stagnation when their service has lost its glitter. When you're no longer in the limelight and the people are just, it's just sort of routine and you're on the back burner, so to speak, and no one knows that you're around. It's just, get past those things. 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 4 says, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith." Let God have faith in God that God can do the impossible through you. I've often challenged you to invite people to come to church, and some of you, when I say that, I can just imagine that the hair stands up on the back of your neck and you says, "I can't talk to people." You didn't have no problem talking to people about 20 minutes ago. You hugged anything that walked down this aisle. And you talk to people. You talk to people outside. You can talk to them at work, at the grocery store, the car lot, gas station, wherever. You can start a conversation if you want to start a conversation. Be at the gas station. That's a nice looking car you got. You get decent gas mileage with that thing. Did you have to put $50 worth of gas in it today, you know? You can start a conversation if you want to. But you got to get past that point of stagnation. And when you do get past that point of stagnation, you're going to become a seeker. You're going to seek opportunities to do something for God. You're going to get past the idea of sitting and soaking and serving, and you just want to seek out and do something exciting for God that you've never done before. God wants to use you. Get this through your thick head. God wants to use you. Not the person sitting beside you, but you. And He will equip you somehow to do it. Basically, all you got to do is open your mouth. He'll give you the words. Some of you are very fortunate. You can talk to anybody. Some of us have to really struggle with it. I'm one of them. And I've learned over the years just to open my mouth and let God work through me. When I feel that inner, nudge to speak up, I try to speak up. There's times I fail, but I try to speak up. And you need to do the same thing. You need to look for new opportunities to help people. But they won't appreciate me. Who cares? God's the one that's nudged you. Go help somebody. Just go do it. Look for ways to encourage others. Everybody in here needs encouragement at times. You got to work outside and it's raining. Well, you didn't die when you took a shower, so the rain's not going to hurt you. May get your clothes wet. But everybody needs encouragement along the way. Then you need to look for answers to your prayer. When you pray, God listens. When you ask in such a way that pleases Him, God answers. Sometimes it's next week, sometimes it's next month, sometimes it's next year. Sometimes it may not be even in your lifetime, but after you go on to be in heaven, God's still answering your prayers. I got 2 great grandkids. One's 2.5, almost 3. And the other one's getting ready to turn 1. The one who's turned 1 was in the house yesterday, and they had to close all the doors because he's learned how to crawl. He's curious. He is into everything. And when he stands up and starts walking, he's going to be into more stuff. And then that's when Nana and Mom and Dad are going to start putting things up higher, because he's going to break some things that are down low that's within his reach or her reach. But you need to look for opportunities. Look for opportunities to enhance this church's growth. God will put them in front of you. If you just take the step, walk through that door and take the opportunity. Whatever it is that God lays on your heart, do it. God has a way of taking care of things. Excuse me. Then look at ways to win somebody to Christ. When I first met the Lord, God put me on the fast track. The first night in visitation, I went out with... That's when churches had visitation, organized visitation. I went out with the superintendent of my Sunday school department, and he led a couple to Christ. And I babysat the younger kids, or entertained them, should I say. After we got in the car, I said, "How'd you do that? What's all those scriptures that you had?" So he wrote them down. I went and got my New Testament, and I knew that he started off with Romans chapter 3 and verse 10. So I knew how to find Romans. So he gave me these verses that he did. So I, beside Romans chapter 3 and verse 10, I wrote the next verse down. When I got to that verse, I wrote the next verse down. When I got to that verse, I wrote the next verse down. That was the way I learned how to witness. I didn't memorize all those scriptures. I just knew where to start with my little New Testament that you could put in your back pocket, and I could turn to that page, and then I could pass, go to the next one, and the next one, and the next one. Then I can ask them if they wanted to know the Lord Jesus as their Savior. Some said yes, some said no. I remember the young man, the first person I ever led the Lord. I can't remember his first name. I just remember his last name was Brown. And I went through that plan, verse by verse by verse by verse. I took a long time to do it. I wanted to make sure it was just right. And after I led him to the Lord, we left, and the people said, "You sure did take a long time." Well, maybe I did. I don't know how long it was. But I know that's been, I was in 1971. I'll tell you when it was. But I learned how to lead people to Christ. That's, you can do it just like I did. Just take, you can get a track and memorize the track, or take scripture, or whatever you do. You can do it if you want to. Then seekers all look for ways or people to pray for. One of the great things about this church is that he stands up here and it takes prayer requests. And if you're paying attention, that some of those names radiate with you, that you can go back to your home and you can pray for them every day. I don't know all the lists, but I know some of the lists. And they're in my prayers sometime in the early morning hours of every day. Some of you are in here that I pray for. Let me see. I'm counting. Okay. 2. Only 2 of you in here I did not pray for this morning. And you have no idea who you are. You may think you know, but you have no idea. But I can guarantee you this one thing. Come tomorrow morning, your name's going before the throne room of God. Amen. You can find people to pray for. God will somehow, sometime, some way, will answer your prayers. God Almighty will honor those who seek the throne of God for others. you can touch the heart of God, and God can touch the heart of the people to do what you ask. See, if you're going to be the person that God wants you to be, you're going to honor the words of the Lord. And the Lord said this in Mark chapter 9. If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. All things are possible. God can answer your prayers. Now think about that. God can answer your prayers. Your prayers can change this church, change this community, and change the residents of heaven. Your prayers. See, God wants to take us through each one of these stages that I mentioned. Whether there's people who just come and sit, whether the people who soak in the Word of God, people who serve, the people who have become stagnant along life's journey, or the people who are going to seek to do God's will for their life. You can be what I've labeled here a seeker, to do the will of God, that God will do his work in the hearts of others. Shall we pray? Father, thank you for your love, your grace. I pray, Lord, that you will speak to hearts, the hearts will be open and sensitive to your leadership. Lord, that this church would be involved in reaching people who do not know Jesus. They're familiar with the name. They're familiar with a little bit about who Jesus is, but they've never accepted Jesus as a personal Savior. Help individuals in this church to seek those who need the Savior. Lord, would you speak loudly so they can hear? Speak softly so that they will respond, that they will become the person that you'd like for them to be. Would you deal in this invitation? May people respond only as you lead. For I ask all this in Jesus' name, for his sake. Amen.